Hello and welcome to the Ask a Private Lender podcast. As always, I'm your host, Lawrence from Mortgage Automator, joined by my co-host, Joseph Fuchs. And today we have a special guest from Accepted Financial Corporation, Brad Curry. Brad, thank you for stopping in today.
My pleasure.
For those of you who don't know Brad, he's been in the residential real estate market for longer than I've been on the planet. And if you're watching this on YouTube, you may say, oh, maybe 20 years, 25 years. But believe it or not, I'm 35 and he's been in that business for over 30 years. So it's a really long time. I think we're going to get a lot of valuable information today. We're going to learn a lot, which is what excites me. And you know why we do this is obviously we're hearing about people's journeys through their period of time in an industry and the ups, the downs, things that they've learned and they can share. So it's really exciting. To start off, Brad, right now you're in the private lending business, but you've been in the real estate world for a very, very long time. How did you get there?
As I mentioned, I started out in residential real estate sales years ago. Sold real estate, managed an office of about 30 realtors. Did that for about 10 years. And then found that I had an interest in the financing side of the business. And at that time, what was really interesting was I was with the firm I was with, a national real estate company. They actually had internal financing people, like reps, right, working in the offices, the first real estate company ever to do that in Canada. And anyway, so that's where I got very close to it. And so that's where I got my interest in the mortgage side of it. And so I moved into that side, which worked for some institutions, eventually became a broker. Ever since probably about 20 years ago or so, I started to develop an interest in private lending. And from there, developed that working with individual private investors, lending their own money to actually creating a mortgage investment corporation 12 years ago.
So Accepted has been around for 12, 13 years now. 12 years ago when you started, and from what you're saying is you had a pool of investors because you knew the market, you knew there was an opportunity, to say the least, that you could get into that space. And did it start off like friends and family? Is that where you
Exactly. We started off with friends and family. We started off very slow. We, myself and my partners, we all have other careers, right? You know, like I was still mortgage brokering full time. One of my other partners runs an appraisal firm, you know, as well. So we started out small. And we just slowly grew. I think our first amount of money we raised was about $350,000. And just slowly been adding to that over the years. So in the big scope of mix, we're not a large player. We consider ourselves more like a boutique player. And to compete in that area, we saw a real opportunity to specialize in second mortgages. And so that's what we do. We just find that the yield is good for investors. We don't have to have a funding. It's not a large mix that we can take on large first mortgages. So we like to help those people out of good, have got good rate on their first mortgage. They don't want to break that rate and they need to top up a second mortgage for various reasons.
Right. Very good. And so you started off slower, you know, it was one avenue that you were doing at the time. Right. Obviously over the years, I'm sure you've grown significantly. Yeah. And nowadays, is it different than it was 10, 12 years ago? Are you doing different types of loans? Has it changed over time? Or did you stick with that niche and just continue growing based on what you were doing originally?
No, we pretty much stick with the niche that we're in. In fact, yeah, we do a few more firsts now because we are larger. Our portfolio right now, we have about 85 mortgages on the books now, so which is a fair bit to manage. But yeah, the biggest change we saw was the change in the federal government rules of B20. Immediately after those rules came into effect, the quality of applicant that we saw just jumped like crazy because there's a lot of good people out there who just couldn't fit the boxes anymore. So we were quite pleased. That's one significant change I've seen.
That was your turning point. That was when, you know, the rules come out, the institutions can no longer finance the type of business that they used to finance. All of a sudden, there's a lot of knocks on your door saying, I need money.
Yeah, I would say that just the quality of the application. I wouldn't necessarily say we saw more. It's just the quality of the applications were better, you know, for us. So as a private lender, that's great because it all goes down to risk. So it's primarily people who are self-employed, right, who are run good businesses, meet their obligations, but they just don't have fit the boxes of the Schedule I banks.
I was actually going to ask you, paint me a picture of your typical board. So you've got your self-employed group, obviously it's not qualifying based on the new bank guidelines. Who else are you dealing with? What other kind of borrowers do you guys usually see that come to borrow money from you guys?
Well, right now we've been seeing in Vancouver, because of there's a large amount of new condo product coming onto the market being completed this year in Vancouver, where people bought these pre-sales a couple of years ago, and now they got to complete. So we're seeing a number of those deals lately where people just can't qualify, you know, and so we're coming in and we're helping them out. Financing, maybe, you know, do a first and second combo with another lender, allowing them to close on that property. And they're immediately turning them around once they take ownership and selling them, right? So we see that as a good business for us. The one thing too, and this is, we're a little unique in the sense of our, like I say, our management group, myself, my two other partners, we all come from real estate backgrounds. Again, one of my partners, he runs an appraisal firm. So we're very tuned into the real estate, which allows us to understand markets. We're not scared of the real estate. We understand the real estate. So that helps. Like, for example, when we're doing the new construction, you know, we'll go off of actual value, today's lending value. We won't use the purchase price, the lesser of the purchase price, things like that. It's common sense. The value is the value, right?
I was going to ask you, because someone will come to you, and let's say they bought that condo, well, 3 years ago, Vancouver price, what, $900 a foot? $850, yeah. $1,000 a foot. Today it's $1,300-$1,400 a foot, right? Ballpark.
Right.
And right. So they're looking for, you know, traditionally they'd want 75% or 80% financing on the purchase price. You're essentially potentially going to 65% of today's value, which is a very safe position to be in. But sure. Really the purchase, you're going to 90%, 95% of purchase price.
Right. Yeah. Well, we won't go to purchase price. Yeah, effectively, that's right.
Right. So you're giving them a non-insured product at a very reasonable, and you're saving them actually quite a bit of money because they're not having to pay that 4.5% CMHC premium. And then right. They're able to either refinance with an institution 6 months later at on a conventional level, which allows them to fully avoid the premiums. Or if they want to flip it because they want to realize their profit and make their $400 a foot profit, they've got you, take something more short-term, get it off and move on.
Exactly. So that's been a kind of a change for this year, notwithstanding the issues with COVID. But that's something we've been seeing a lot of those type of deals. And the other thing too, like again, getting back to understanding real estate, you know, special assessment for condos and stratas, right? So we recognized a couple of years ago that there was a change. Like a lot of lenders, they kind of look down a little on condos and strata. But we could see trends in the market that this is the new future. These properties are a lot more liquid if you ever had to take one over than a lot of other single detached homes that are worth $2-3 million here. So we look at that. So special assessments, we're not afraid of those. We understand the impact of the value, understand that stratas will work their way through that, and we'll finance people's special assessments if they need to, you know. Or
yeah, what's your view on the whole having skin in the game? Right. Or in the property, if you will, meaning
that's a great,
you know,
question.
We have lenders that they're either on one side of the fence or the other side of the fence, which is someone buys that condo 5 years ago and effectively they want 100% financing or 110 or 120% financing because the values have increased so much. Are you of the adage that I don't really care how much they take out as long as I feel secure based on the value today and what I've lent them? Fine. Is that your view on it?
Yeah. Everything of being, you know, equal. Yeah, that we tend to look at, hey, at the end of the day, our security is the property. And right. Our worst case scenario is we got to take that property over, sell it, get our money back. So we pay a close attention to that. So that's why we, you know, find the value is the value, right?
Right, right.
Is how we really look at it.
I tend to agree with Brad on that because if you're prepared to go to 75% on an existing property, it's the same 25% equity they've got as if you're lending the money on a condo that has gone up significantly. The right. room is still there.
It provides a tremendous opportunity for
privates. You
know, companies like yours who right. see that true value, because there are companies that don't do that. And I think they're, you know, effectively they're leaving good business on the table. So, you know, if you're a broker out there who deals in that sort of market,
the pre-construction
or you're a real estate
condo.
Agent, the pre-construction condo market, a real estate agent, a broker, if your buyer's having difficulty closing, right, Brad is the kind of guy you should be calling because he'll effectively be able to help you close on that property. Definitely something to keep in mind. As far as the brokers you guys deal with, and do you guys deal with brokers exclusively or do you also do direct to consumer? What's the business model?
business model, we know we don't do direct to consumer. We strictly deal through brokers. Any, we do get the occasional unsolicited call for money, and we actually refer them to a couple of brokers that we do a lot of business with. Myself being a broker, you know, over the years,
right.
I understand that relationship. So we protect that relationship. So even an existing borrower can call in and they want to do some something with their financing, we always refer them back to the broker.
Right.
When the mortgage comes up for renewal, we send out a notification to the borrower 60 days before renewal. And we ask them, you know, you're coming up for renewal, we're working, starting the process. This is a great time to reach out to your broker and discuss any potential options, that sort of thing. So,
got it. So you're keeping the broker in the loop.
Yes.
When that deal's coming up for maturity, it's not an accepted financial corporation client.
No.
This is a, hey, Mr. and Mrs. Broker, we understand that it's difficult to obtain these clients. We're going to keep you in the loop. We want the client to deal with you, and then we'll work out a renewal option with you.
Correct. Yeah. Yeah. So we like, we don't like to have borrowers with us for long. Like, you know, I always feel if we've had somebody with us for 3+ years, they're not improving their situation. Right.
Right.
You know, so why, what's going on there? And that the longer I believe it's on your books, the more riskier it is. So that's why we try and really encourage people to look at options and refinance and pay out and get into better rates. So we just really try and see ourselves. We look at deals like sometimes bad things happen to good people. Let's get in, help these people out, look at a clear way they can refinance or exit the deal in a year or two. And those are the type of deals we like to do. So
completely agree with you. They're also, every once in a while, there's that lazy borrower,
yeah,
where they're happy with the payment, right? Mm-hmm. Like they don't want to go looking and find,
rock,
they're just
rock
happy
the
to
boat.
Stay with you.
Yeah.
Yeah, they don't want to rock the boat. So there's those people too. Right. You know, but I guess it's, hey, you should probably go look at something because you're spending too much money with me. You can save money going elsewhere. So that's interesting. So if brokers want to get in touch with you, is there a specific, do you have like a BDM that they call? Is it, do they call you directly? How should they get in touch with your company?
Yeah, interesting. Well, I mean, the best way is just to go to our website and, you know, acceptedfinancial.ca, and the information's there on how to contact us. We used to do a lot of mass marketing, you know, mass email marketing. However, how things have evolved over the years, pretty much always close to fully funded. So we have a core group of brokers that, you know, support us, who we have good relationships with, which we like. So, but it's not to say we're not entertaining looking for more brokers.
Let's talk products. Are you mainly residential, construction, commercial? What do you like? Maybe loan to values. What's your risk appetite? Give us some insight as to what kind of deals you're looking for.
Okay, we're looking for, we'll do deals up to 80% financing. We just do residential. We don't get involved in any commercial. It's not our expertise, our background. So we stay out of that. But simply anything to do with residential property, we'll do. We will do construction, some construction. Now, again, given the size of our operation, we primarily, our construction will be a top-up, because often people get into a construction deal and they find themselves, you know, $50,000, $60,000, $100,000 short. They can't, with their existing lender. And so we'll come in and do that top-up for them. A little bit more easier to work with in terms of draws when it comes to that. Again, this goes back to our ability to understand the real estate. Like a lot of construction lenders, they'll have, well, they always retain the cost to complete. You know,
yeah,
we can be flexible with that. Yeah, so condos, single family detached homes, townhouses, land. Land, we only go about 65%, 70% typically. We've gone higher for the right deal because they're strong.
To touch on the construction, because I think it's a great product. It's a great thing that people should know. If you're not following, and maybe you do the business and you don't understand, it's possible. If you have a client who's building a property and he's run out of money near the end, so maybe 85% complete, 90% complete, whatever the number is, right, he's not stuck. He or she, the owner, is not stuck. They can reach out to Brad, and Brad will come in there and understand the house is here, the dwelling is here, right? They're just a little bit short, and we're happy to give you that money because we understand when it's done, we're going to be good. And even now, we're going to be good based on loan to value, because if you mess up, they're probably happy to go in and fix up the project themselves.
Well, so, I was going to say, if you're at 90% completion, what are you fixing? Some paint, some trim,
exactly.
The kitchen's probably installed or about to be installed, like vanities. It's cosmetic work at that point. It's almost it's almost like a reno loan.
Yeah, pretty much. So it's usually not a lot. I mean, at that point too, you see the project. It's not like you're just putting the hole in the ground. There's things that can go wrong at that point, but it's basically finished. You can see the end product. So that's the kind of thing we would look, we would do, and more.
Usually we like to ask our lenders a few questions about the type of deals they'd like to do. So if you had a choice between doing $1 million deal or 10 $100,000 deals, what would you prefer? But I think I kind of already know the answer based on kind of how we've had our conversation with you, but just kind of wanted to hear your outlook or your feedback on why you go that route.
Yeah, we would definitely take the latter. We'd rather do $10,000 deals, just, you know, because it spreads our risk around more effectively. Again, those mortgages will be second mortgages, which do generate a higher yield for our investors, which ultimately we're working for. And it is definitely a little bit more on the administration side of things, but that's okay. We're well taken care of that now with your guys' program, Mortgage Automator. So
appreciate that,
Brad. Appreciate that. Yeah. And what about like a loan to value versus rate perspective? Would you rather be on the lower end of the return that you want, but it's a much safer deal, or up to that 80% mark, but you're going to get that higher yield for your investors?
Well, no, it's interesting to say that, because right now there is a good supply of private money out there to be lent, and we're seeing some downward pressure on rates. So actually, I've turned down some deals that I know we're not prepared to compete in that space. It's a low loan to value deal, but you know, we would rather take on something a little more risk and get a better return.
There is a need for that. Absolutely. Yeah. You know, there is a lot of liquidity in the market today. A lot of competition, a lot of people out there looking to put out some money. And sometimes you've got to find your niche. And if that means, you know, higher yield is still available at slightly higher loan to values for a company such as yourself, you're okay with that.
Yeah, right. That's exactly right. So as long as we're getting the money out the door, right? So obviously, if, you know, that changes and we're not getting deals, then we're going to have to, you know, obviously look at the price, on that basis. So, and we look at the overall, we keep tabs on our overall loan to value in our portfolio. You know, sometimes, yeah, we'll take on a deal, a low loan to value, lower rate. We've got some excess funds. Let's get the money out the door. So those decisions come into play as well.
Dealing with investors for a long time, dealing with people in the residential space for a very long time, I'm sure you've had interactions with some wealthy individuals. Is there something that you've seen that they do, you know, when they're involved in business that, you know, maybe you've taken with you, whether it's their decision-making ability, whether it's the risk that they take or don't take? Is there something or someone that you've dealt with, and obviously no names or anything like that, but just something that maybe you could share with our listeners?
Well, in terms of the investors side of things, yeah. I mean, when I look at our investor pool, most of the investors that we work with, we never really had any idea of this type of investment, right? Now, all of our investors are connected to us through, you know, friends, family, business associates. So we all have this personal relationship with them. So we really brought this investment to them, you know. And some of them, of course, have more money than others. But it's really, they thought, wow, you know, I can get this consistent return with minimal risk and minimal management and relatively liquid, right? Get money out if you need to.
That makes sense. And what about from the perspective, though, of an individual who has accumulated a lot of wealth over the years? Do they work differently than those who maybe don't have as much financial wherewithal, you know, ability to invest with you? Do they make their decisions faster? They just don't maybe think about it and they just go with it. Do they, you know,
they hold on to their money even longer than
they hold on? Yeah.
I just think of one individual who told me a number of years ago, he says, nobody looks after your money better than you can do it. And also do what you know, right? And this is a person who he invested money in, has done very well in both investing in property and real estate, because that was his area of expertise, versus, you know, giving a lot of money off to a financial planner. Nothing against financial planners, but have their role. You know, if you don't understand that business really well, you know, you can get hurt.
So, Brad, we talked about the type of business that you're looking for, you know, second mortgages up to 80%, but we didn't talk about the specifics of that. You know, what should people be expecting for the rate of the mortgage, the fee that you charge? What do you guys charge on renewal? Those sorts of things. Tell us about it.
Yeah, well, basically, our standard product offering is a one-year term. We have it's essentially open mortgages. So if they pay off after 2 months, there's what would be a 1 month interest penalty. So they're all the mortgages are open, flexible that way. Most of our mortgages are interest only. And also to what we can do for brokers to help, you know, with them, because sometimes clients are more rate sensitive than others, is we do look, we do rate and fee combinations. So we price a mortgage, our standard lender fee is a minimum 1% or minimum $2,000. It's pretty reasonable for second mortgage. A broker can charge whatever they like on top, we'll collect it. But then we can look at a rate. So if we're quoting a rate with a $2,000 fee at 10%, we can say, okay, we'll do this 9% for $3,000 fee, or we can do it 11% for a $1,000 fee, that kind of thing. So, to allow a broker, if they want some flexibility.
Yeah. So if the client's more cash flow sensitive and they're okay to pay the fee up front, you guys can essentially manipulate the numbers to get to the same cost or same yield or ROI that your company's looking for, but on paper to make it look more attractive to the broker who's selling that particular client.
Correct. Exactly. Our standard renewal fee is $600, which is quite reasonable again in this space. And that hasn't been a problem. Often we allow people to add that to their mortgage, or they can make payments on it over, we capitalize it over 12 months for $50 a month on top of the regular mortgage payment. We can handle the real estate that way as well.
That's a very reasonable offering, I will tell you that.
It actually is. It actually is really reasonable from what I've heard from others.
Well, we like to just be fair with people. You know, we don't want to, you know, I've seen that where, you know, people go out and get into this deal and they don't realize it's a huge renewal fee down the road. So,
right. Yeah.
We've
absolutely.
Also done some interesting deals lately where we'll do a mortgage, well, payment reserves. We'll do that. We'll do a combination too, you know, some monthly payment, some reserve, depending on the scenario. We like people always to have to make a payment though, really, each month, no matter what that is, just so they have that feeling of obligation to make, right? So,
but you're willing to be flexible. And I think that's the takeaway here is you're not set in stone, black and white. This is the way we do it. Fit into what we do or don't come to us. It's let me understand what the borrower needs. Let me understand, you know, what's going to make this deal work. Because essentially at the end of the day, if you're not closing deals, you're not making money. So, I mean, it would be, it's a smart perspective to take to be able to work with the borrower and make sure that they understand that after a year, they're not going to be stuck. You let them know what the renewal is up front and those types of things. So I know it's very good. Now you said you have about 85 loans on the books. You've been in the business for, you know, 12 years, 13 years. That's a lot of loans I'm sure you've done.
Yes.
Over all of those hundreds and hundreds and thousands of loans that you've done, number one, have you ever been in a scenario where something just didn't add up and maybe it was a fraudulent loan or you've been hit with fraud before or any interesting stories from any of those loans that you've done?
Nothing in terms of any kind of major kind of fraud issue. I mean, when we did a loan a while back, a few years ago, and, you know, the guy ended up putting a grow up in his garage and all that, you know, foreclosing on that one of our two foreclosures, actually, all of our time that actually went full all the way out to for, you know, the whole process. But yeah, no, there's just been, we kind of watch out for that. We really pay attention. This is what's nice about dealing with a smaller group of brokers, because we build a relationship with them of trust. So we know what kind of business they do. And this is also comes in kind of answer your previous comment about being flexible, because if we like the broker, we like the deal, client looks good, we will be flexible, right? It's just kind of as advice to brokers out there too, because a lot of, I know it's like as a broker, you know, you get a deal, okay, let's shotgun this thing out to five or six lenders, great. But if you don't have a relationship with that particular lender, you know, your deal may not get the attention that it deserves. I get the idea of, you know, yeah, not every private lender is going to be able to do your deal. You need to have a few lenders out there to work with. But I always encourage brokers, just try and work with a few that can kind of cover all your bases and build up that relationship.
But I agree.
It's a good strategy, you know, because all the stories that I've ever heard of with fraud, it always starts the same way.
Yeah.
So a broker I never heard of sent me a deal.
Yeah. It's the first, right? It's always the first deal.
It's always the first deal. Right. Yeah. So no, it's definitely a good strategy to work with people that you know, and you have that, you build that relationship over the years. And after the year, you know, they start treating your money as though it's their money, because they want to make sure that, you know,
you're going to be around for a long time.
Screw you over.
And as lenders and brokers, I mean, I always believe in this industry, you know, we got to protect the hands that feed us, right? Otherwise, you know, the regulators are looking at our business now. model, particularly in this area of fraud, you know, and then, you know, if people start playing too many games and get caught, then it makes it difficult for all of us, right?
So, I agree.
So. Is a grow up a big thing in BC? Because I know, like, you know, BC cannabis kind of goes hand in hand. Yeah. Does that actually, you know, negatively on a major scale impact properties?
Well, it's not so much as you as it was before, but we still run across properties where it's occurring or has occurred, right? And so it's very difficult for on the A space, A lenders. Like, there's one credit union out here who will do remediated grow ops. We generally try and stay away with from them anyways, even
there
if
is,
they
there's still that have stigma, been remediated, right?
Just because of that resaleability of the property. Of course, low loan to value is a different story, right?
Low loan to value, grow op, not a big deal to do. You're okay with right. that. Very interesting. And it changes, right? Over the years, I mean, the world changes, the market changes, everything changes over the years, right? If I would have heard that 6-7 years ago.
Oh, it's a do not lend. It's an instant do not lend.
It do not lend. But I guess today it's a different day. It's a different time.
Yeah.
But I will make one comment. I think it's imperative that.
Yeah, it is definitely.
I think it's imperative that the property is remediated, because if it's not, I think that's the biggest issue. Because then you're pretty much looking at land value.
Yeah.
You've got to tear it down and start building from the ground up again.
Totally agree. Yeah, something that's remediated like that, proper loan to value. Again, I always fall back to the end of the day, worst case scenario, we have to take the property over. What do we got left to sell? Right.
Right.
What's the chance of getting our money back? Right.
Right.
So,
Brad, we definitely appreciate you coming on to the podcast. We heard it here from Brad first, you know, it's second mortgages. We didn't talk about your location. Location, where do you lend?
Oh, well, we're strictly British Columbia, Greater Vancouver, Fraser Valley area. The major centers in British Columbia, like Greater Victoria, Nanaimo, throughout the Okanagan, like Kelowna, Vernon. We really actually like that area.
Okay.
Kamloops, Salmonar, you know, some of the smaller towns too will do. For example, in the Okanagan, I don't know if your listeners are with it, some will be, but there's a lot of little small towns, like there's some major ones, and there's little ones like Summerland and Peachland and things like that. We'll definitely lend in those, because that area is becoming basically a metropolis now. They're all blending in together, right? So.
Well, you heard it here. That's the location. Big town, small town. They're happy to look at it. Accepted financial corporation. Second mortgage is up to 80%. We heard the rates. We know the fees. We know what they do on renewal.
Very
flexible.
You're a broker,
they're very flexible. They're going to keep you in the loop on renewal, which is, I think, as a broker, one of the most important things.
Absolutely.
That you're not losing your clients.
Yeah.
And they're going to keep you in the loop. So if you do have deals down that way, be sure to reach out, go onto their website. Again, Brad, the website is acceptedfinancial.ca.
That's correct.
Go to the website, get in contact with them. We always end the same way, which is completely off topic. It's more for me than anybody else. In your area where you live, the best pizza place that you got, what can you give us?
Ocean Park Pizza in South Surrey, White Rock, British Columbia.
Ocean Park Pizza. You heard it here first. That's Brad's recommendation, not mine. So if you go there and you like it, shoot Brad a quick email. And if you don't like it, you can let him know as well. Actually, let me know so I can take it off. But I'm sure it's great. I'm sure it's a great place to go. Thank you very much for tuning in. Please follow Mortgage Automator on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Instagram. We're also Automator Group on Twitter. Go to askaprivatelender.com to check out all the latest podcast episodes. And if you want to be featured on a podcast, whether you're a broker or a lender, if you're in the space at all, reach out. We're happy to set something up. But Brad, again, thank you so much. We really appreciate your time.
Absolute pleasure.
Thank
Brad.
You guys. It was great.
Thank you for tuning in to the Ask a Private Lender podcast. Go to askaprivatelender.com to check out the other episodes. Follow Mortgage Automator on Instagram, LinkedIn, and Facebook. And we're Automator Group on Twitter. And we'll see you in 2 weeks. Bye.